It just rolls off the tongue.
Enough of that shit. I was gonna say, once you said that rolls off the tongue, I was like, there's a joke there, but I'm pretty sure Pete probably is already saying that at home. So anyway, touchdowns to tens, everybody. I'm pretty sure it's episode 196. If it's not, I guess Spreaker just keeps double counting some of our episodes. It's really a pain. It's a pain in the ass. Like, it makes me feel like I can't count, and I know how to count. But anyway, touchdowns to tens. I'm Kenneth Berry. To my right, we got a special guest, Markel Matthew, the PG, because we're going to be actually talking about AFC West this particular week, but the main storyline is not every team. And to my left, did I just say Markel's to my left first?
You did.
To my right is Markel. To my left, I'm fucking this up.
He's drinking and smoking that good stuff.
To your other left.
It's been a long day. It's been a long week. I'm frustrated. To Eric's right of me is me, and to my left is Eric. So there, if that makes sense. It doesn't.
It's radio. They don't know where we are.
No one. Do any of us know where we are in 2020? Like, too much shit has happened.
Man, like, who are you telling?
It's like we're living the in-between time between, like, before they went to go kill Thanos in the past and after, like, Thanos got his head chopped off in his kitchen.
It's like when Thor is fat and out of shape.
Yeah, like the process of Thor getting fat and his depression growing.
That's where we are.
We're in that stage.
So he was playing Madden 21 then the whole time, right?
That's pretty what if they all knew Madden 21 was coming and they knew it was going to be trash?
And they're like, ooh.
So we got everybody's
EA
hating
said
on
they got to distract everyone, so we're going to start this COVID thing because we ran out of ideas. We need a year off.
What if they were supposed to cut off Thanos' head, but they saw Madden and everybody got pissed? And Thanos was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. In front of his daughter. But anyway, so again, this is Touchdowns and Tangents. If you didn't know, the podcast where we cover all types of, you know, culturally concise things, give some topical tangents. And most importantly, you know, we provide a lot of good info for whether it's the hardcore sports fan, the novice. You know, there's something for everybody. You can pretty much be at any kind of function, turn on our podcast, and you'll probably get at least three jokes you can use on that one dude at the party who got way too drunk during the Super Bowl, stepped on a glass and cut his foot open and cried like a bitch the whole night. Like, I'm pretty sure you know who that person is, and if you don't know who that person is, you're probably that person. Because you probably got blacked out and don't remember.
Yeah, but I did cut my foot on a boat one time drinking, and I couldn't go back in the lake. That was,
hey, can I be honest with you?
That's how actresses get murdered. You can't be cutting your feet on boats, man.
Nah. Hey, I've never blacked out. Like, how people wake up and they're like, I don't remember what I did. Like, these last, like, I did that? Like, yeah, bro, you were up for like 2 hours tripping. Like, I just go to sleep and I wake up and I remember everything.
Oh my God, you!
You are a lucky person.
Let's get the kilo right now.
I mean, the 200th episode is in a month, so I guess you can show up for that.
We can show that. My remedies for a blackout drunk are tequila and Jaeger.
You do. I'm probably going to be blacked out emotionally in my feelings.
Oh snap!
Oh my God!
Hey,
what?
We have a celebrity in the building right now,
Mr. Too Tight Shirt.
It's not a Clipper shirt, though.
It's not. He had a camo mask on. He's serious.
I was just about to say, like, that. Has he been hitting the gym or?
No, he wears tight shirts, bro. He has a bird chest.
Oh, okay.
He can't help it. And he's standing up. He thinks it's a Super Bowl role. But anyway, to my left, you scare the twice over.
What show is this? Am I 2 hours late for courtside?
Okay.
He came in with haymakers.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, he's the Clippers.
Wait, this isn't
good.
Don't At Me?
Oh, hey.
Wrong studio?
Hey, wrong studio, man.
My man.
He's been gone for a minute.
Oh, man. What's up, guys? What's up, listeners?
So, we were just pretty much exaggerating this intro. But for the most part, you know, yeah, Pete's back, and we're just gonna hand the reins over to you real quick.
Wow, okay. Can I look at the fucking rundown?
No, well, you don't have to start with that. You just start talking, say, hi, I'm Pete, and I'm back, and you can take your goddamn mask off.
I know, he's just like, hey.
Like, do you have something we don't know that we should know you have? And he's shaved! Oh. He's a baby face.
Man, I've been fucking having a week. I've been in fucking courthouses. I've been all over fucking Southern California. It's been a lot. But I don't know. Thursday night, why not be here?
Right.
That's what's up. And I feel like you smelt the food in the hallway. You're like, oh, okay. I know Kenny got food. I know he's not going to go into episode hungry. Because I don't do that. But yeah, man. So shout out to Good News Radio, X-Squad affiliates, full press coverage. Just all our affiliates, man. Everyone who fucks with us and rocks with us. All our interns. You're wonderful people. You've enriched our lives. Has it already been like a month with y'all here?
I think this is...
No.
Week three?
I think this is five for me. Week five. Maybe six.
Yeah, it's like week six.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a vet. It's like, damn. Time flies, man.
And let me let y'all know that you guys are big time. When you have interns, you're somebody. So
especially an old ass intern like myself.
I need to hear the shotgun, man, because that's big time. You guys have interns. I love it.
The Silent Storm.
All right.
But speaking of Silent Storms,
Kenny, I think we're just going to... probably, he always says he sends me the rundown, but never does.
Definitely.
You want to just look at my screen?
That's funny because our intern got the rundown, but you didn't. Is that the title of the show?
When do we get paid? He might be replaced. Is that what you're trying to tell him?
I mean, you don't have a beard anymore, so I don't know.
I haven't shaved mine.
Yeah, see, he has a beard.
Mine's like getting grizzly.
He has a beard and a deeper voice, and he doesn't wear tight shirts. I don't know, man. You might have to like take a managerial role. Pull a Pete Rose. But anyway, let's just get right to it because we're probably going to have a call in the next 10 minutes or so. But the Jaguars are tanking.
They've terribly. Been tanking, haven't they?
Like, they're tanking so hard that I think they actually want to be worse than the Cleveland Browns when they were, like, terrible for 8 years and they just missed on everybody. Like, I'm convinced that... Like
Trevor Lawrence,
they would ruin that though. They would ruin him. Like, how you take Fournette at four, which a lot of people don't talk about. How that was a bad pick at four. Fournette should have never gone that high. I'm not. If he would have ran a 4.3, I'd have been like, all right, that's worth it. That's big, strong, and freakishly fast. But he ran like a 4.5.
Clippers are smacking Denver.
Let's not talk about it until next time. But no, Fournette, a guy who can't catch the ball, I think we, all of us in here, catch the ball better than he does and run routes better. You can't draft a guy like that in the fourth overall pick.
You got to throw him a screen pass like in rugby.
Like if this was 10 years ago, you know, like
I mean, Peterson. They only went to the AFC Championship game the one year they actually used him, right? And he was healthy, but that's yeah.
The and the line was crazy, the line was better in the past couple of years than it was that year. Even though Cam Robinson kept getting hurt, he's probably next to get traded.
Well, the quarterback play has been worse since then. That was like the height of Blake Bortles.
I would say Minshew was better than Bortles. As far as turning the ball over?
I guess, but... Yeah.
It's not that far.
He was a more productive
Blake
player.
Blake Bortles like almost threw for 5,000 yards.
He had Kerry Collins numbers though.
Blake Bortles did
38 touchdowns, like 24 picks. Like, come on.
Yeah, Blake.
Come on.
Blake Bortles is like he had like two solid years.
He had one solid year. He had one 1.
Year. 1.5.
I'll give you 1 in a possible. I'll give you 1 in a possible.
Is he still in the Rams?
I think so.
Oh, he's not?
I think he is, maybe.
Yeah, he is, but thankfully...
I don't watch Hard Knocks, so I can't tell you.
I didn't see this one from this week, but I do know that Derwin James, like, tore his knee up, his meniscus. And I had drafted the Chargers defense, so now I'm kind of pissed because, you know, Yannick got traded away to Minnesota and just
Damn, bro, where the fuck I been at?
Yeah, Yannick. Yannick and Uquan.
You didn't know that?
Shit. It's been a long 2 weeks, man.
Yeah, he got in there. They're looking at Clowney. They're looking at like the Saints. Them Titans and the Saints.
Are yeah, no, I saw that update. Yeah. I
but
didn't
like
see the
Jacksonville traded Rodney Harrison, who was a pretty good player.
Rodney Harrison.
I was like, Rodney Harrison. I don't know why I kept saying Rodney. I thought his name was Rodney. Yeah,
autocorrect.
Rodney, yeah, that's true.
In your head.
Yeah, for my brain to God's ears. But Rodney Harrison traded away to the Browns for a fifth-round pick.
I don't trust safeties that wear pads that big.
I mean, I just put safeties like that at outside linebacker.
And then yeah, he looks
then
like
win the Super Bowl
linebacker.
And let their awareness go to 99, and I trade him for a first-round pick. I'm like the king of stockpiling picks just to trade people.
Yeah, man. Now you can't do that shit anymore.
So Madden.
Now you can't get picks for shit. No.
On Madden?
Yeah.
Damn.
Like you can't combine picks to get a superstar anymore.
Hey, what day did it come out?
It was last week. They released it, but they like kept doing updates. So now they're the full update.
Because usually it's such a big thing, but like yeah. You didn't really hear much about it.
I just barely saw it on my Xbox home screen like 2 days ago. And I was like, oh, Madden came out? I guess.
Yeah, I think it was a week ago today.
So it's track
out a week ago.
I think 2K is coming out.
Yeah, 2K is like next week or like 2 weeks.
The season's
now.
Not even over.
What
are
you doing?
Some people are still.
I just think Candace Parker getting a 90 overall rating is trash and disrespectful, and I need the fade for whoever did that because that's a black queen. You don't do that.
Was she supposed to be 99?
94 yeah. At
she's
least.
Not even the best player on the team.
I'll fight you, bro. And first off, her teammate's a 91.
She's not.
Her teammate's a 91, so how much far off was that?
She's only a 91.
Abubakar should be higher. Abubakar should be like a 93.
This is we got to get a hoops talk poll on this. Bro, who's the best player on the Sparks?
No, I'm not saying Candace Parker. Like she's not the best player on the Sparks anymore, but she's like the Shaq to Flash. That first year when they won the title. Like,
bro, Aneka's not even. Aneka's a vet now too.
Aneka does a thing too. Aneka,
they're both vets.
Yeah, but Candace is like consistent with what she's doing.
Hey, who
is
that? T. Cooper, the guard you got.
Hey, Mikhail's trying to wife.
Hey, she is fire, bro. And she got game.
Team full of queens.
Team full of queens.
And they'll you get a snatch your ankles.
You're like what? 5'4", 6'10" girl. Split the difference. Split the difference.
Tory Lanez.
6'4".
She folds you in half.
6'4". You got a combo guard. You got a Russ.
I'm working right when they get a Russ.
You might get a stout 5'9" running back in the future.
Yeah, man. Nah, I'd be like 6 feet.
Nah, you don't be 6 feet. Nah. Yeah, my mom is taller than my dad. But
he
like,
says 6'10".
She's not 6'10". No. Hey, 6'7".
Anything can happen. Boban said both of his parents are 5'4". He's like 8 foot.
Bro, he's from a country good where they produce like fucking Marvel villains. Did you not see me killed in John Wick? He got murdered in John Wick. He got his ass whooped in a library and nobody heard it.
Sokovia, he was there, huh?
No, John Wick killed him in John Wick 3. But Boban did a great job. I wouldn't want to fight Boban because that's just too much size.
Damn, remember when people were saying Zach Cunningham was trash and the Raiders passed on him?
Oh, you remember when I said that the Raiders should draft Zach Cunningham?
You thought he was going to be trash, too.
No, I didn't.
You were like, he's not that fast, and he was at Vanderbilt, and he dominated.
He was an All-American at Vanderbilt, which is why
you were like,
he's a middle linebacker.
You were like, I could dominate at Vanderbilt.
No, I didn't. Yeah, you did. I never said that athletically.
Yeah, you did.
I would never say that athletically. I would never athletically say I would dominate at an SEC school.
Damn.
Academically, yeah.
You were like, who did Vanderbilt have? Did they even win a game? You're like, did they even win a game?
Derek Mason, Jordan Matthews that 1 year.
Are you talking about the school of Jay Cutler?
You mean the Skip Bayless school?
Oh, Skip
Bayless.
Where
he averaged 2 points a game in high school?
JV.
Got a journalism scholarship?
That was JV, too.
Oh, yeah, it was JV. You're right.
I was cold when they did that to him.
Who was that, Jalen Rose?
Nah, yeah. He had to.
Hey, Skip was so uncomfortable the rest of that episode, bro. He was like,
you don't have to go at me like that. Well, you shouldn't be talking. Speaking of talking. Hey. Hello, caller. What's your name and where are you calling from?
From Artesia.
Artesia?
Can we get a name, please?
The high school?
Wait, what? I thought you said, where are you calling from? What city?
Touche.
No, this is Gilbert Manzano.
That's what's up. Beat writer for the LA Chargers, OC Register, SoCal Sports. Am I missing one?
SoCal News Group,
sorry.
Man, there's 11 newspapers, so I could go through all of them, or you could just say OC Register or LA Daily News. They both work fine.
And most importantly, and shout out to the Artesia plug, most importantly, a CSUN alum, a fellow Matador.
Yeah. You could have started with that. You know, where did you go to college? I would have said CSUN Matador, class of 2012.
You gotta end with that. That's the biggest pop, because we can just get right to interview. Like, oh yeah, you went to CSUN. That trumps everything else. It makes all the sense in the world. Of course he has all those different jobs.
CSUN's one of those things everyone has to do once in their life.
Yeah, right.
It's like a rite of passage.
You grew up in Southern California, you probably took one class at CSUN.
Yes, sir.
You're like, did CSUN ruin my life? A little bit, but did it give me more perspective? Yeah. Am I ever paying my student loan back? No. I will neglect it like child support. But thanks for calling in. Yep. We just want to know.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only reason why I'm on this phone call because I went to CSUN, so I'm glad I get a perk out of it somehow.
I know, right? Because I hit you in the DMs and I was like, oh, you went to CSUN? Okay, this could go one of two ways. You get left on red, or it's going to be utter pettiness when he calls in. I like it. I'm liking it so far. But speaking of utter pettiness, I know, like, with COVID going on and you covering the Chargers, how's that whole process kind of been?
Yeah, it's been a little awkward. It's a different feel, very unique, of course. I guess, you know, first time in the sports history, I guess you could call it, a pandemic going on. So it's kind of, you get a feel for, you kind of see how things go day by day. But, you know, the weird thing, it hasn't felt too strange, maybe because, you know, I still had a regular kind of training camp where I go in and I get to watch a full practice. It wasn't like I was on the field on the sidelines trying to get a close look of these players. So I was still in the same kind of area outside of the fence, walking around, you know, doing my thing. I guess the weird part was I was wearing a mask the whole time, but I kind of forget sometimes. Unless it's very hot and I'm sweating through the mask, that's probably the only bad part. But the other weird thing is that, you know, once practice is over, it's kind of a strange thing. Usually we all gather together in a big circle and we fire questions to Anthony and Lynn and the players from like 3 or 4 feet away. Now we kind of just all go to our little workstations, go to our laptops or whatever device we use. The players go walk to a podium. I guess I call it the Zoom podium. So they go over there. They're about 50 yards away from us, and we're talking through Zoom on our laptops. You get these weird echoes going on. It's a little chaotic sometimes. People are stuck on mute. People freeze. But we're getting through it.
So, over under, how many people have mouth breathed into like the mic? 5 to 7. Between 5 and 7, that's the average.
Oh man, it's at least, you know, once a day. You know, the weird thing today, we were talking to Denzel Perryman, and I think he made a joke. And the weird part, while he made that joke, there was like crickets going on behind him. And I was like, what's going on? Is that part of the joke? Nobody was laughing at his joke. So the sound of crickets was kind of playing. I'm guessing that was a real life thing. So it kind of was on cue. So you hear all these crazy things. You hear dogs barking. But you definitely hear a lot of breathing or people out of breath during training camp.
So, you know, Kenny and I, this is P here, we both, you know, have been in different press boxes and things like that. And, you know, they always tell you, as a journalist, it's all about relationships and building relationships with these players. So I'm just curious, you know, now that, you know, your access is a little bit different, has that affected, you know, how you build relationships with these players?
Yeah, it definitely does. You know, the one thing that we're going to, you know, us reporters are going to hurt on or miss out on the most is the open locker room. When you get to go in after practice or before practice and you have a locker room open for about, I think it was 45 minutes. I forget now. It's been so long from a regular kind of a setup. But you have this locker room open and all 53 guys, even the guy.
Oh.
What happened?
Somebody was just getting his bag.
Somebody didn't put, It literally just a call dropped, I guess.
Yeah, he probably just dropped the call.
That's Artesia. He's probably a playing floor. As soon as he said Artesia, I was like, sure.
I was like, yo, we getting paid on there.
Like, what the hell you out for? This can go one of two ways.
Artesia. I was like, oh, shit. We got James Harden on the line?
Yeah. James. Trevor Ariza. Where you need him? Is Westchester nearby?
Shout out to the Pioneers.
Oh, is that Artesia?
Yeah.
The Pioneer League?
I had no idea. Yeah. We ran them when you were here.
We are.
We tried. They were tough.
I mean, hopefully, you know, he calls back in.
Maybe his phone died.
That would suck, too.
Maybe he just...
Because he was getting into his bag.
He was really getting his bag. Like, what if this is a rib? What if it's a rib? And he's just like, nah, I'm gonna wait. I'm kind of mad now. Damn it, why does this always happen to us? We're gonna guess and something happens, but nah. Well, in the meantime, we'll put a pin in the Chargers thing. We'll redshirt that. Kind of like Derwin James's season this year. We'll just redshirt.
As he was talking
Derwin
about Zoom calls, is James. What happens, right?
He's out 6 days.
Oh, yeah, it's ironic.
The Lakers beat the Supersonic. No, they didn't. Anyway. Back to a trash organization, the Jags. Like, where do they go from here?
I don't know why you're always trying to talk about the Jags. Like, where are they going? Dude,
like, no, like, their last, the Jags since 95, bro, all their first round pick, only two of their first round picks have actually gotten a second contract. Like, how does a team keep screwing up this much?
Hey,
and they're an expansion
insane.
Franchise.
Yeah, that's insane. Only
I don't think
two?
The Chiefs have had that many first round picks bust out.
And since they've probably 95. Been to more.
Ryan Sims was terrible.
And they've been to what?
Yeah, you remember Ryan Sims.
Maybe they're just trying to get established in London.
Yeah.
They've probably been to more AFC Championship games than the Browns, though. Two.
Agreed.
Yeah. Three, maybe.
Damn, they really haven't. Damn, when last time they were really good? A couple years ago. They just making idiotic decisions. So that's what it is. They're just making really bad decisions. They should have never drafted Fournette, to be honest, that are at number four. Like, you know, if he can't catch the ball and it's just strictly a runner, it's hard to build with consistently a winner with that team. Like, we saw the Titans last year with Derrick Henry, but let's see what Fournette does with everyone else. Yo, hello. But, yeah, It's going to be tough.
Did you make her bring you food?
No. What? I have food outside. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I was about to say, dang, y'all really
yeah,
good time right now.
Yeah, don't be hazing young Izzy, man.
I would never do
I'll
that.
I'll make you run laps.
You can't make me run laps. I flip-flops on. I'm a
Jesus
medical stretch.
Jesus can't make you run laps.
Hashtag intern, bro.
I was just about to ask.
A really good medical reason.
I about to say, Kenny, can you run laps?
Yes. Wow.
No, I'm serious. I'm on the scooter at the grocery store.
Damn, I'm going to fight y'all when we go off the air.
No, I was very serious. Like, wait, can you run laps? Yeah,
you got the limp to match, too. Like, the store manager won't even test you, bro. You get on that cart, they'll be like, oh, yeah. You see how that dude walks? He definitely needs a cart.
Especially if I show up with the flip-flops and just crack my ankle a couple good times.
Hey, they going to see him on the camera outside getting out the car
and
somebody
like,
drive
oh.
up.
Valet.
Hey, here you go, bro. Here you go. That's funny, dog. That is hilarious.
Wait, what am I doing?
Hey, Sam, call him back. Jesus, do something.
Sorry, Kenny. We got love for you, man.
That's the number. I know. It's all good. Honestly, that's nothing compared to when, like, Sean Kingston first broke out and, like, everybody started singing Beautiful Girl at me at school. Like, teachers even did it. Like,
damn.
And, like, I had to endure that. Like, there's no amount of jokes you can hit me with.
Like, do you know how
because
disrespectful?
I literally survived that as a freshman and sophomore.
The teachers, I guess.
Bro, teachers.
I guess some teachers. Because this one kid, I honest to God, truth, I'm telling you. He looks like Biggie Smalls to the eye and everything. So I used to be like, what's up, Biggie Smalls? And he'd be mad, and all the kids would start dying laughing. But yeah.
Shut up, Pete. You're going to hell. So go ahead. Just say it. Say the joke.
Say it.
I don't really even have one, but you look like Biggie Smalls. Bro.
I was like, that's offensive, bro. Not all fat people look alike. We really don't. And I wasn't even fat as a freshman. I was 190 pounds. Like, I lost 80, I lost 90 pounds as a freshman. I was fat as hell in the eighth grade. But, like, then I played football and then Hell Week and, yeah.
I was like that, too. Like, well, I mean, I was, I think when I was in eighth grade, I think I was 160 pounds. And then I got freshman year football, dropped down to, like, 135, 140.
Yeah, and they don't like, I still have pictures, but like, people don't believe it. They're like, wait, you were really that? I was like, yeah, I hit a growth spurt right when I was losing weight, so I just shot up. But you really brought up Ryan Sims. Like, that shit really blew my mind. Was he like the 23rd overall pick?
No, he was like the fourth pick.
Ryan, the fourth pick? Oh my yeah. God.
Him and, yeah, he was supposed to be that guy.
D-tackle?
Yeah, D-tackle, number
that's
90.
That's like him when, that's like Dwayne Robinson out of Kentucky.
He played at North Carolina with Julius Peppers. It was like, oh, they're both going to go to the league and be dominant. Chiefs, hey, Chiefs did have a back. You had him, then like 5 or 6 years later, you get Glenn Dorsey, where everybody like, oh, he's about to be the next Warren Sapp.
Bro, explain the defensive end to me. Not Travis Jackson,
For what team?
They drafted a defensive end right after him. Tyson Jackson. Explain that.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible. The third overall pick. And he didn't even dominate at LSU. He was like,
he didn't do anything ever.
He was good. That was just, that was, you know, the Chiefs were clearly
terrible
then. That's
like taking Arden Key at with the third overall pick in the draft.
Yeah, that draft pick, Tyson Jackson didn't, he called the Chiefs and said, y'all sure? And, you know, like,
with
y'all
all
sure?
This money,
yeah,
are you sure you want me
y'all
want to
pick me third, but... Yeah, man, that's tough.
But, yeah. So, moving on. The Saints came out saying they were open to trading Alvin Kamara because he wanted just McCaffrey money. I guess they were okay with paying him around $12 million, but he pretty much...
Which, by the way, bro, the Raiders are not trading for Alvin Kamara, and we're not trading Josh Jacobs, so you really need to stop...
Yeah, I saw your Twitter feed too.
No, yeah, that was terrible.
Nah, it can happen though.
This is an intervention.
Oh, yeah. Really? Oh, yeah. So, okay.
That's why I'm here.
Are you sure it's an intervention? Because I'm pretty sure you could play him as a receiver.
Do you think he's going to be as good anywhere else?
Yeah.
I believe so,
similar role.
But Josh Jacobs is probably better already.
Bro, Bama running backs have like a 5-year lifespan. Mark Ingram is an anomaly.
Well, who was the last Bama running back that the Raiders had that didn't do very well? What was his name?
Trent Richardson missed a wide open hole. That,
which was terrible. Like, no, but Derrick Henry, Mark Ingram, like...
They passed on them.
I know. But yeah, Josh Jacobs is different because he didn't play a lot until his last year at Alabama, so he doesn't have a lot of tread.
But he's also not a burner, and how much can you make him your bell cow? Like a guy like Kamara is an offensive mismatch.
Hey, I'm going to tell you this. Go ahead and let Derek Carr throw the ball 50 times.
Give me a third-round pick back.
Go, hey, let the Chiefs...
You're going to give me Kamara.
Hey, the Chiefs are saying, let Derek Carr throw the ball 50 times a game against us.
Something's
probably
bound
winning
to happen.
By eight touchdowns.
Something good has to happen if you throw 50 times a game.
For the other team, yeah.
Shit, we'll see. But with that, I mean, he went back to practice, but that's still pretty amazing to me. But anyway, yeah, so we're talking about Zach Cunningham earlier, who I still think the Raiders should have took, but they passed on him, but they passed on everybody.
This is going to be part of the bingo about every time the Raiders should have took somebody.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know that.
I literally have a hashtag called the Raiders passed on him. You can find just hashtag Raiders passed on him. Dead ass.
Hey, that's funny.
Just a couple. They passed on Travis Kelce, too. It hurts my soul a little bit. But, you know, it is what it is. But Cunningham, he got a 4-year, $58 million contract extension. $23 million guaranteed. Colts center Ryan Kelly got a 4-year, $50 million contract extension. $34 million guaranteed, which makes him the highest paid center in the NFL.
Good for him, man. I remember when everyone was like, oh, he's a can't miss pick. And sure enough, he was.
Some people were kind of like, that could be a bust. But Ryan Kelly.
Who is this? Who they say is a can't miss pick?
It's Ryan Kelly.
Ryan Kelly. Oh, yeah, yeah.
There was like rumbles like, he's a great player, but if the Colts don't fix the offensive line and it's just him, this might go bad. But I'm glad they kind of fixed it up. So there's that. And then you got the Giants signing Logan Ryan. You got a 1-year, $7.5 million deal from the Giants. He's going back to his hometown of Jersey because, you know, the Giants don't play in New York. They play in New Jersey.
East Rutherford, to be
yep,
exact.
Indeed. I'm not going to say it's a Jet stadium because they don't win anything. They're like the Clippers of the NFL.
Agreed.
Actually, no, the Jets actually won a Super Bowl. Yeah, the Joe Jets Namath. Won a Super Bowl. I
Shout
take that
out to
back.
Joe Namath.
Yeah.
Great Joe Namath.
Then the Bengals gave Joe Mixon a four-year, $48 million extension. He got about $10 million in the signing bonus. They prorated part of his salary to give him a little bit more per year. Lions left tackle Taylor Decker got a six-year, $85 million extension with $37.5 million guaranteed. And, yeah, the Saints are pushing to sign Jadeveon Clowney, which I'm just not sold. I mean, how much – like how you must feel like shit if you're Marcus Davenport. Like, just damn. They picked you in the first round, all those picks, and then they pretty much just try to replace you, like, every year.
I mean, he's just getting thrown around the whole league. He's officially a journeyman.
For Clowney?
Now. Yeah.
It's just the fact that I heard that he doesn't, like, he's not, he's like, I want my money
he
still.
Wants too yeah. much money, but you've yeah. never had 10 sacks in a season, bro. You're a run stuffing defensive end with, like, wide receiver athleticism. It makes no sense.
Is his whole career about that one hit that he had in college?
That's
yeah,
his career.
The Michigan
yeah.
game. Mm-hmm. Michigan wasn't even that good.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great hit. It's a great highlight, but it's like.
That's where people go to increase their draft stock is the Outback Bowl.
No, yeah.
Like
yeah.
every game in the Outback Bowl, Florida or Michigan end up playing each other, or an SEC team always plays Michigan, and somebody gets their face stomped out. Like, that just happens. So it's like, okay.
Well, how many years has he been in the league now? He's been in the league, this is his fifth, sixth year?
Same year as Khalil Mack.
Okay. And then how many teams has he been a part of now? So
Houston,
he's coming in Houston, he's with the Seahawks last year, so he's going on his third year.
13.
It feels like he's been with, like, four teams.
It feels like it. But, like, it's just, like, nobody wants to pay him. It's like, cool, you can be part of the team. He'd be better if he became more of a role player.
I would the Texans miss him because he just opened it up for, like, the other
JJ
guys.
JJ.
But after a while, it's like, you got to go and get sacks yourself. Like, numbers do matter, and he just doesn't get them. I don't know what it is. Should he be on the roster? Of course he should be. He's great.
But for the money that he's asking for?
Not for the money that he's asking for, because production, you need to bring that. Like, if he would come take $2 million, I would love for the Chiefs to sign him for the season.
He's not going
to
take $2
million. No,
I know. Now we need to have an intervention. Fam.
I mean, what is he worth?
If you
want
to go buy Madden 2010 on PS2, you can get both those things on Amazon for, like, under $100.
No, I know, but, you know, just like Suge Knight said, if you want to, you know, if you don't want to go, if you want to play for the winning team,
he just quoted Suge Knight on his podcast.
Come to the Chiefs, you know.
That's you realize, like he said, Artesia earlier.
Yeah.
Just, like, do you understand where you at? Like,
he said tripping.
Oh, which y'all? I can't say Suge Knight.
Like, I'm just mad
y'all
at
you for what you do say.
Which y'all I'm bad boy fans?
Because I pronounced the G. Is that what it was?
You said set tripping and then just started laughing.
I said it
way
with the G
hard.
Though.
Nah, you said it perfectly fine, but you laughed too hard. Like, you were too comfortable in that laugh. That's a devious-ass laugh. That laugh sounds like gentrification.
Oh, wow.
That laugh
sounds how you really feel over here.
Speaking of which, man, I just went to Grand Central Market, and that whole area is, like, not horrible now. I was like, wow. I don't know how I feel about this.
Is everything too expensive now?
Just a bad service?
No, it's just like, oh, shit. Like, there's not pee all on the floor everywhere. So it's like,
I mean,
oh.
That's kind of a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. But then I'm also like, oh, it's kind of the character. Like, oh, let me get this gourmet meal and then.
It's like, if I'm not going to get shanked, yeah. It's not a bad trip, you know?
Indeed. Indeed.
Oh, my God.
Mind? Oh, my goodness. This is, these are fun times.
These are. We're having such
yeah,
a
smooth
podcast.
Yeah, this is it right
today.
Here. He's in.
We really are. Like right. This turn from like, okay, we're gonna like, you can just call back, but then they're like, oh, you gotta pay to still be on Skype, and I'm like, huh?
That's what he said?
Yeah.
Wow.
Skype trying to be the middleman now. This is disrespectful.
This is your room.
No, I know.
The real question is, if we're gonna talk about it, Tyrod Taylor's starting QB for the Chargers.
That's what I really wanted to ask him.
Oh, don't worry. We're going to get him. We're going to get him back on. It's going to happen. But who's not okay
oh,
with
you
that?
Have to let him in?
Yeah, that's why I gave you his information, his username.
You know, I hate when this dude just is like, yeah, he doesn't even know what the fuck is going on, bro. We're not even using Skype. We're using Zoom.
Why are you using Zoom?
He's like, bruh, just sit over there and stall. That's your one. That's your one job. That's your one job.
Username, bro.
That's your one job. I put it in. It didn't work. Anything else, sir?
Did you call the number?
Anything else, sir?
Did you call the number back?
This is gonna be a lot of editing this week. I'm gonna have my hands full this week.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, I'll just jump to some quick college football news. This is definitely gonna be over quick. So yeah, like UAB and Central Arkansas are playing today, if I'm not mistaken. Like I think right now.
There's actually a bunch of stuff. I'm actually going back on Twitter over here.
They're like they played Austin Peay last week. I never know how to say that word. But they're literally playing as of last week and this week. Shit's kind of amazing to me how that's all playing out. That like these schools, these small divisions are actually playing. It's actually kind of impressive. But anyway, Ja'Marr Chase of LSU, top receiver in the draft, one of the best players in the draft, considered like a can't-miss prospect. He decided to opt out this year. Pretty much like, I think he's a redshirt sophomore. So he really had no reason to play this year. Especially with like 80% of that team gone. What's the point? And then, you know, Memphis running back Kenneth. Ooh, crap, I forget how to say his last name. Kenneth.
Who are you talking about for linebacker for a squad?
Nah, the Memphis running back.
Oh, Memphis?
I don't want to mess up his last name. Gainwell. There we go. Kenneth Gainwell. He was pretty much like a freshman All-American last year. Redshirt freshman. Had like 2,100 total yards from scrimmage. Plus, he had like 16 touchdowns. He declared for the draft. Technically, he got away with playing 1 year in college because he was a redshirt. And then freshman year. It's actually kind of amazing. Like, somewhere Maurice Clark. Somewhere Maurice Claret is pissed off. We got him back.
What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Go.
Good now?
Yes, sir.
Welcome back.
So I don't know what happened there, but it was asking me to pay. I'm like, what? That was a free phone call.
Yeah, I was like, man, I don't know what happened.
Skype trying to tax people now. We have a talk about it.
So right, hopefully we don't get Zoom bombed.
It's an open link or what?
We all getting it up now.
Mo Lester might try to hop in the call.
Oh man. You know, we'll make it work. It's all good. It's 2020. You gotta adjust and work on the fly.
True. But speaking of working on adjusting, you know. So their starting quarterback, Tyrod Taylor. Now, from the stuff I saw on Hard Knocks, every chance they got, they were like, oh my God, Herbert throws an amazing ball. Especially that rookie running back was like, dude, your balls are amazing. And everybody just stopped and looked at him.
Yeah.
Like, is the Justin Herbert love really that heavy out there? Or is Tyrod not getting enough respect?
No, you know what? I think the scenario that the Chargers created where they pretty much already said Tyrod Taylor is the starter – maybe kind of made it a good environment for people to say, hey, we like Herbert too, but we all know who's the guy for 2020 is Tyrod Taylor. But for the love for Justin Herbert, it is pretty legit. Chris Harris Jr., you know, the longtime cornerback for the Broncos, first year with the Chargers now, I swear I've heard him mention, you know, how much he likes watching Justin Herbert throw during training camp at least 5 times. There was a day where he wasn't practicing, and he had like a little strain on his leg, so he was just doing sprints on the side. He caught one of Justin Herbert's passes. He had to stop his little jog to say, "Man, this guy's legit." Like, he really likes watching him play. But you know, the thing with Justin Herbert, you know, he has all the tools. He has a strong arm. He's a guy you want to watch in a throwing session, you know. But it's gonna take a lot. It's gonna take time. I don't want to say a lot, but it's gonna take time for the kind of, you know, put that all together. When in a team game, 11-on-11 drills, you know, he was a little shaky. scrimmages where he was a little shaky. So you got to put all that talent and those skills and the mechanics and everything he has with the arm strength, and you got to put it together into a game setting. That's where he's kind of lacking right now. And I think everybody kind of knows that because they're all, you know, they're all leaning on Tyrod Taylor. So you have time to wait and groom on Justin Herbert. But, you know, talent, you got to be born with that. And Justin Herbert has it.
You know, being here on the West Coast, you know, we've heard about Herbert for a while. We've seen him in the Pac-12 games. And you know, like you said, his scouting report has always been he has all the talent in the world. But I'm just curious, you know, having to watch him up close a little bit more, what's something that maybe you've seen that's kind of surprised you, either, you know, on the field or even, you know, getting to talk to him, that you're like, well, you know, I wasn't necessarily expecting that.
You know, I guess not with the reporters, but, you know, there is this big, I guess, kind of knock on him that he's not personable. He's a quiet guy. He's too shy. He can't control huddle. He can't control locker room. And I see him at least on Hard Knocks, and I've seen him with other players on training camp. You know, he's trying to be more outgoing. And I think that the teammates are understanding he's not going to be a rah-rah guy or energetic, but they like that he's trying to go talk to people. He's trying to the thing that kind of set up to me, he goes and asks questions. He's not afraid to learn. He's not afraid to say, hey, you know, what do you see here? What are you doing there? And I think he struggled in that, there was a session where his second team offense was facing the first team defense, and the Chargers, keep in mind, have a loaded defense. So he was kind of, you know, at a disadvantage there, but he really struggled. And after practice, the defensive coordinator, Gus Bradley, said that Justin Herbert went out to approach him and to say, hey, what did I do wrong? What do you think I could work on? So I know he's quiet, but when you got to talk and speak up and ask questions, he's doing that. So, and I think there was like a scene on Hard Knocks where he's kind of joking around. He actually did the WhatsApp thing from the weather commercial in 1999. I'm like, what? Like, he's like 21 years old. How
he
do
saw
you know
it on
the
YouTube
weather commercial?
I saw that too. I was like, is he old enough for that?
Yeah, and I'm like, I was kind of embarrassed with myself doing it right now, but for him to do it, I tried it. I couldn't do it. It was the worst thing ever. But you know, for him, he doesn't care. He's gonna joke around the way he is, who he is. And I think the Chargers appreciate that. You know, just be who you are. Don't try to be a different guy. And that side of has kind of really, you know, surprised me, because when he talks to us in the interviews, he's very respectful, but very cliche and very short answer. So it's good for him to kind of come out of his shell with his teammates.
Indeed. And you talked about the fact they have a loaded defense. I mean, it helps that if your second QB is a guy who won an academic Heisman and put Oregon kind of back on the map, that helps. But with that defense, them losing Derwin James, but having a lot of depth at corner and kind of that nickel spot, plus Earl Thomas is kind of lingering out there. What have you heard, at least on the defensive side, like once Derwin went down with that injury?
Yeah, no, first of all, that's a brutal loss for the Chargers. His second year in a row, he has a big injury. Last year, at least there was a chance of him coming back. He came back for 5 games. This year, he's gone for the whole year. You know, you saw reports of, you know, 6 to 8 months, and the Chargers confirming he's going to be gone for the whole year. And not just, you know, player-wise, that guy's your heart and soul of the defense. I was talking about rah-rah guys, but Justin Herbert, he's not like that, but Derwin James is. He's energetic. Players gravitate towards him. When he lands a big hit, that kind of the teammates feed off of that. So it's going to be a big thing to kind of, you know, I guess try to, you know, fill that void or replicate. But, you know, speaking on the free agents, I don't think the Chargers seem too interested in Earl Thomas. We asked them a couple of days ago, hey, you know, Earl Thomas is out there. Gus Bradley's scheme. He knows Earl Thomas very well from the days in Seattle. You got a need at safety. Are you going to look into Earl Thomas? And he pretty much, you know, brushed it aside, because it was kind of funny, because we spent the whole offseason saying how much depth he has in secondary, how much Pro Bowl talent he has. How are you going to put all these pieces together? You know, is a guy going to be left out of the mix? And then a guy goes down, and we're asking about guys who are not even on the team. Like, what happened to all the depth and all the crowded questions in the secondary? So it was a little, you know, sarcastic response from Anthony Lynn to say, I think he said, why the hell would I look anywhere else when you've been telling me the whole offseason how deep we are in the secondary? So a little funny, but you can tell he's a little frustrated. Obviously, he lost his, you know, probably his best player, you know, next to Joey Bosa on the defense, but. You know, they have options, you know, with that depth that we were talking about. You know, especially now you can throw in a guy like Chris Harris Jr. You mentioned how deep they were at the nickel. Now you can move Desmond King to a safety to kind of help you out there. He's supposed to kind of do the Adrian Phillips role from a year ago, kind of, you know, be that dime backer, linebacker, safety kind of hybrid. You got Nazir Adderley back healthy, who was supposed to be kind of like this perfect partner in crime for Derwin James a year ago. But he had a lingering hamstring and didn't really do too much as a rookie. Rayshon Jenkins, he's a guy who could play strong safety. He was a free safety a year ago. And now they've kind of, I know from with such a weird offseason with the pandemic, they were kind of thinking for plan B, plan C, plan D, and of course keeping in mind with injuries. So they had all these DBs kind of, you know, cross-train. I think that's what Gus Bradley called it. They're playing nickel corner from safety to outside. They've been moving these guys around. So the Chargers have a lot of pieces to kind of work with, and at least they've prepared for scenarios to kind of move guys around.
Yeah, and their linebacking core, probably one of the most athletic in the league. Chinnan Nwosu, I thought would be best, you know, put as a 3-4 outside linebacker, but he did so much at USC, and being a former safety, he just has, like, the ability to do that. And then you got Perriman in the middle, and they lost Jatavius. You know, he left free agency, but now you have Kenneth Murray. How has he kind of been playing the whole camp?
Yeah, I think we all kind of took the easy prediction and to say who's going to be the rookie to start is obviously going to be Kenneth Murray, and that's where we're kind of headed. I think he's going to be – I think the kind of surprising is that where was Kenneth Murray going to start? We kind of assumed that. But I guess wrong. I thought he was going to be kind of an outside linebacker because he's so versatile and he can rush a passer and he's so fast. But they don't want to give him too much too fast. So what he did at Oklahoma was kind of focus on the run and be a middle linebacker. So they're going to put him in the middle for now. They haven't announced starters yet, but he's been getting every first team snap there. And Drew Tranquil, kind of the star from the rookie class from 2019, he's going to take over at the weak side. And those two guys are kind of your future, Kenneth Murray and Drew Tranquil. And with the Chargers, they don't really play a lot of, you know, three linebackers. They do a lot of, you know, the nickel packages, so they have, you know, an extra DB there instead of a linebacker. But they have depth. You know, Denzel Perriman has been the middle linebacker the past couple of years. You could throw him in there, and, you know, in case something happens. You mentioned Uchenna Nwosu. He's not really a linebacker anymore, which I think for him is going to be a good thing. I know they kept trying to figure out what to do with Nwosu, a linebacker or as a pass rusher. And you could tell Nwosu really just wanted to be a pass rusher. He wanted to go after the quarterback, and I think that's where he does his best work. So now they finally listened to his request, and it's going to be a full-time defensive end. But the only bad thing about that, he's now a backup. He was a starting linebacker the last couple of years. You know, not really one of those, you know, the ones that you really want to have is either the weak side or middle. But he was a strong side linebacker, which is kind of going extinct nowadays. But now he's for sure a defensive end. The only problem, he has Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram in front of him. But the good thing with the Chargers, they like to rotate a lot of defensive linemen kind of in two waves. So I think there'll be a lot of Nwosu there. But also, if anything happens, again, with the linebackers, you know, he could play linebacker in a pinch and help out there. So the Chargers have a lot of depth in the middle spot.
So I'm just curious, you know, we talked a little bit about defense. We talked about the quarterback position. You know, we got Hard Knocks. We got the new stadium, which even if there's not fans, it's still, you know, still expected to be playing there. So, you know, headed now that it's finally here, what are you most excited about for the upcoming season? And what, you know, should Chargers fans be the most excited about?
You know, I'm just excited for games happening.
Yes, sir.
You know, at one point we kind of thought this might not even happen at all. It seemed, when this whole thing started, we kind of thought at first, well, it will go away in a couple months and football will be, you know, will come in the fall. Then as we got closer, we started worrying, how are we going to make this work and put it together with the coronavirus testing and the no fans and the weird thing is kind of been it's been smooth so far. You know, you see these numbers for positive tests; they've declined drastically. No one's, you know, been out yet. We'll see how that works out when the games start. But just, you know, having football on TV, I know people are very bummed out not to be at the new stadium, SoFi Stadium, especially for the Chargers. You know, it was kind of their year to prove to people that they have, you know, fans in LA. You know, come see us and show out at the new stadium. So they won't really get to, you know, have that opportunity. So that's kind of, you know, it's just a whole weird scenario, you know, from the Raiders to the Rams and the Chargers having these new fancy stadiums that no one's going to be in there. But again, you know, everybody's just happy to have some football games. And I'm a little bummed out that Derwin James is not going to be there. He's one of the guys I love to watch, you know, around the league, regardless of, you know, who it is. You know, if I wasn't covering the Chargers, I would, you know, I'd probably, you know, watch TV just to watch Chargers games to watch him play. So that's kind of a little disappointing. So you kind of lose a little bit of that luster, that hype of, you know, how good can these Chargers be? Because people are kind of, you know, already riding them off without Derwin James. But just to get to week one and to see them go against Joe Burrow, the number one overall pick, that should be an exciting game.
Indeed. And, I mean, the fact that I don't know what's crazier. The fact that we keep finding, like, CSUN alums who are all covering the same stuff we want to do, in particular with, like, football. But because Pete and I were, like, former offensive linemen, so we just always rib each other constantly and unforgivingly. What was your time like at CSUN?
It was good. I really enjoyed my time at CSUN. You know, every chance I get to, I know we kind of started off, hopefully, I don't know if you're going to, you know, put this together from the two halves of my phone call.
I'm going to let it play. It's too funny. It tells too great of a story.
But the first half, we were talking about, you know, we're making some jokes about CSUN, but, you know, just to be on the serious side, I really enjoyed my time. And it was such a great place to kind of, I guess, you know, develop, or as a journalist, I sound like a player, like develop into a star player, but but to produce a journalist, I think it was a good place for me to kind of land. You know, it's weird because, you know, we grew up as sports fans. So you think about it, you want to go to these big fancy, you know, D1 schools, just to have, you know, the school pride and go to these games and wear all this gear from whatever UCLA or USC. So, you know, I was a little bummed out and get to go to one of those schools. But, you know, when I got there and the career I chose as a sports writer, journalism was a great program at CSUN. I learned a lot, you know, especially working at the Daily Sundial. That's where I kind of got all my experience. And the good thing for me, I kind of got lucky. I started there at the Sundial my second year in college. So I got like 3 years of experience working at the newspaper. And people always ask me, what can you do in college to, you know, to kind of, you know, grow as a journalist? I say, you know, especially if you're a writer, work for the school newspaper, because sometimes you get access to, you know, regular sporting events, and that's just, you know, just from being at these games or even these collegiate games, especially covering the CSUN men's basketball team. You know, I was there when they were playing UCLA. I was there at Poly Pavilion. That's all valuable experiences. So for me, I thought CSUN was great.
Fantastic. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate you. And when you definitely listen back to this interview, you're going to be laughing like really hardcore. About a good 30 minutes.
But do you want to go ahead and shout out your social channels and where people can find your work?
Yeah, definitely. You can, you know, follow me on Twitter at gmonsano24. That's where I post pretty much all my stories and, you know, all my reports there. That's how it is on Twitter. You go there first. But also, I appreciate, you know, people who subscribe to our newspaper, amen, newspapers and our websites, you know, all the clicks and all the, you know, anything you guys can do to help out to read our stories and our coverages. It goes a long way for local journalism. But yeah, like I mentioned earlier, we have 11 newspapers. I think you subscribe to one of them, the LA Daily News, OC Register, Pasadena Star News, you name it, you get all 11 of them. But also, if you ever have any, you know, story ideas or anything you want to talk to me about, just even talk about Chargers, send me an email at gmonsano. Sorry, that's not Twitter. Sorry, it's gmonsano@seng.com. That's an email address. So I gave you a bunch of stuff there. So hopefully whoever listens to this podcast with you guys gives me a shout out.
Awesome. Thanks, Gil. Keep up the great work, man. We'll be watching you and supporting you. And go Matadors.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate that lineage. No, man, it's great to talk to two former CSUN alumni, so I appreciate the time, guys.
All right, man. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Fantastic. really great to have him on. Go ahead, hit that applause button.
Like, that could have. Shout out to BG for getting it together for us. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
And Skype, we gotta run a fade or something, because that's ridiculous.
And I'm gonna tell y'all right now, use Zoom.
Yeah.
Zoom is the best.
Which is ironic, because
we might have another guest call in 45 minutes.
No, just keep. You can use Skype for like short calls, but like Zoom is perfect because they can.
We should get them to sponsor the show.
I've always heard like terrible stuff about Skype, and then it finally happens, and I'm just like, oh wow.
Yeah, that's so weird. I don't think
I've never had like a bad Skype experience until, but it worked out. But with all that, I'm gonna just go ahead and finish wrapping up this college football stuff. While we're in between.
Bro, you are the worst.
Yeah, fact.
You are the worst moderator, bro.
Am I?
You are literally all the worst, bro.
I wanted to ask him a question, like, for writers, you know what I'm saying, that covers certain teams, how does it feel when, like, truly people don't expect your team to win? So, like, how do you get that energy to really? So you know, you guys are looking like, imagine being a Browns reporter, you know, for years. You go in, it's like, you really want to show up and say, I mean, so are y'all going to win 5 games this year? You know,
covered seats on the basketball seat. So,
I think, not to be corny, but I think it's really the relationships with the players. Like, you know, like, even talking to people who covered the Lakers when they're sorry, like, you know, just chopping it up with Bob Soccer. Like, like, they end
Bob
up
becoming
Robert Sacre. Mr.
Don't give him a nickname. He's Robert.
How dare you call him Bob? There's only one Bob. But it's Bob Garcia.
But I'm just saying, like,
no, I feel
like
what you're saying.
Like,
you
they become
have that.
Friends, you know. Yeah. So you end up rooting for them as your friends or your colleagues or whatever. Yeah, like, you start getting those inside relationships, and it becomes a little bit easier. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, yeah, like you said.
Yeah, it's tough. You know what I'm saying? Like,
to capitalize on like something he said to, I mean, for the Chargers proving that they have fans in LA. I mean, the last 3 years, they come over here from San Diego, and then they're stuck in this tiny little stadium that's filled up with a visiting team at StubHub in Carson.
Hey, are y'all down to sign a petition for me? I'm going to start a send them back petition to send them back to San Diego.
You're not familiar with petitions and the stance of petitions get on more this done. Podcast. Yeah. Okay. Mascots get way more done than petitions.
Okay, damn. I didn't know.
You got to pay attention to our titles, man. Our titles say a lot.
But, I don't know.
It really is a failed opportunity this year with 2020.
Yeah.
I mean, with unless everything, but this stadium could have been like, hey, they could have had more fans than the visiting team for at least one game.
Honestly, I think they got bailed out because I don't think it's ready to where it's supposed to be. I don't think it's
the stadium or the team.
I think the stadium itself is probably done, but like the infrastructure around it, like you know, the parking, the lights.
Yeah. I went bike riding over there and all that stuff. I was like, damn, why is it still like fences up?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it's where it would be if they were playing on Sunday.
It's like, am I going to the Coliseum right now or the new stadium?
Yeah, exactly.
Am I going to prison? Why are there so many gates?
And this is probably great for the Chargers because they kind of suck right now.
But
so.
Allegiant is ready to go. Like, well, they don't have the infrastructure, but they're not building it to the same extent at SoFi.
With the Death Star.
Are you talking about Chiefs
Vegas
Stadium?
The fan base is already there.
Oh, okay. I mean, all those stadiums kind of run late around everything else. I mean, I lived in Phoenix when that new stadium went up, and I mean, it was nothing but farmland around
there.
Yeah,
that's how Staples was.
Yeah. And it will come. I mean, back to our Field of Dreams reference last week.
No, yeah.
But, facts. I mean, but you build it, and they're all going to come. I mean, Inglewood, and talk about gentrification earlier, it means Inglewood's probably going to get gentrified now, and there's, and
already
I mean,
is.
Look at that. Real
they're
estate
already,
is
hey, if you live over there, please don't sell your home, because
it's going to go up.
Yeah.
Keep that
gold
house.
It's going to be worth everything, and if I see a white quarterback starting at Inglewood in 10 years, I'm going to be mad as fuck.
That's what it used to be, though.
Yeah, well, the South Bay used to be like all white. Like, Torrance had like two black people on
there. Aren't the Clippers going to be playing over there? Oh. Skype.
I mean, I don't have the keyboard.
Oh.
Hello, caller. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, my name is David Drogemeyer. I am one of the hosts of the Locked On Chargers podcast, and I am calling from Central Texas.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
That was not on my bingo card. Are you holding up? Did the storm hit you guys, or are you safe?
Yeah, not quite where I'm at. It was more the Houston and Louisiana area. We only just got hit with some rain, but other than that, we've been kept pretty clear.
Cool. It's good to hear. So, as far as kind of the fan experience, because we were talking about it just now, with the Chargers, do you feel like they were ready at least to march this team out and actually have them be their own entity and not like, hey, we're sharing stadium with the Rams?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. Right now, I don't think up to this point they're really, you know, at the pecking order level to where they can stand on their own in Los Angeles. I still think after a couple of seasons, they're still trying to find their footing, still trying to establish a more, you know, adamant fan base in the Los Angeles area. They're committed to it for sure. They definitely want this to be a long-term thing. They understand the financial sense of it. Their team has already increased substantially in value just by making the move. So they're definitely committed to it, but are they ready to stand on their own? I don't think so. Not quite yet.
With Hard Knocks, what have you kind of taken away from, you know, the past four episodes?
I mean, how could you not watch these episodes and not be just transfixed by the type of leader that Anthony Lynn is? I think he's showcased that through every single episode. I think, you know, these men, they really respect him and they follow him. They know that he's, you know, was a guy that was on the 52nd, 53rd guy on a roster that had to scratch and claw on special teams to be able to make it in the NFL. And he, you know, got a couple of Super Bowl rings to boot. So these guys really respect this man. And also, I mean, the Chargers, just as much as they're dedicated to, you know, winning football games, obviously in 2020, but they also want, you know, their message to get out there that, you know, this social injustice needs to end and everybody needs to get treated normally like human beings. They're using this platform to really try to fight for that equality that they so justly deserve. So, I mean, that's kind of a focal point, I think, that I've seen Anthony Lynn and just, you know, their concentration on not shying away from the message.
And just kind of, you look at the juxtaposition with how the Rams are, at least from what we've seen and how the Chargers are, which team do you feel like is going to fare better this season?
I mean, hey, that's a great question. I think on the Chargers side, you feel really confident, even with Derwin James going out, that they're going to have a spectacular defense. I think, you know, the additions of Chris Harris Jr. and especially Linval Joseph in the middle of that defensive line is going to free things up for Bosa and Ingram to allow them to not get double teamed as much and really pin their ears back and get after the quarterback better and more successfully than they have had an opportunity to do so in the past. So I think you're going to see a all-star year, a career year for both of those men because of Linval Joseph. On the offensive side for the Chargers, I think you know, you have a lot of weapons there, but there's obviously a lot of uncertainty with Tyrod Taylor as a starting quarterback. They completely changed the offense this offseason to more of a running quarterback style, more run-pass options, more play action, more movement. That's what caters to what Anthony Lynn wants to run as an offense and what Tyrod Taylor does best. We know he's going to protect the football, but we don't know how much he's going to be able to stretch the field. And so that's a little bit of a concern for me. As far as the Rams are concerned, I think on offense they have a couple of weapons, but not quite enough. I think Jalen Ramsey on the defensive side is obviously phenomenal, and Aaron Donald is just an incredible, incredible generational talent. And he's definitely going to keep them in a lot of games, but I think on the defensive side is where it's going to hurt them, and I think that's why the Chargers are going to have a more successful year in 2020.
Wow, bold statement. I like that. But, you know, we comparing them to the Rams because of proximity, but just how do you see them stacking up in the AFC West with, you know, the defending champions, you know, ascending Raiders team, a Broncos team that's also improved? You know, there's a lot of excitement about the Chargers, but, you know, how do they stack up against their historic rivals?
I mean, hey, the division games are worth more than anybody else. I mean, I always believe that division games are worth two. So you have to definitely see how you stack up against, you know, the rest of the teams in the league. And I think, and especially in your division, when you look at these teams in this division, they all increased their speed substantially. Mm. The Raiders go get KJ Hamler. The Broncos go get KJ Hamler. But the Raiders go draft a really speedy wide receiver in the first round.
Ruggs.
Henry Ruggs. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, the name escaped me there.
You're good.
The Chiefs obviously have Tyreek Hill and a couple of other track meet stars. So the Chargers, I think, you know, what they tried to do is add some speed of their own in the middle of their defense, drafting Kenneth Murray in the first round. I think that's really going to help increase the speed in the middle to match the talent you had at the top with Casey Hayward and with, unfortunately, Derwin James being out, but Nazir Adderley, and there's a lot of talent there. But, man, everyone has to compare themselves to the Chiefs, right? I mean, they're the ones that are the Super Bowl champions. They've won the AFC West several years in a row. So when you look at it and you say, hey, how does the Chargers stack up with the Chiefs? I think right now, obviously, you look at the quarterback position being a huge difference between these two. But the Chargers defense has shown the last several years that they know how to play Patrick Mahomes very, very tightly. He hasn't thrown for more than 200 yards passing in either game against the Chargers last year. So I think they're close, but I still think it's the Chiefs on top and staring down on everybody else.
And so with that, you know, you seem pretty optimistic about the Chargers, and I have been as well for like the past 5 years. So I'm just, in your mind, like, what is your worst case scenario? Like, what is doomsday for 2020 LA Chargers football?
Hey, man, doomsday, I think, would be like a 4-12 record. I think that would be absolutely astronomically bad.
Yeah.
That would be something that might lead to some serious changes in the front office, even though they did just draft a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
In Los Angeles, if you don't win, you're an afterthought, and the Chargers are already not the most exciting ticket in town. I think you look at the Dodgers, you look at the Lakers, you look at, you know, the Sparks even. I mean, there's just so many teams, USC football, UCLA, all those teams are ahead of the Chargers in the pecking order. And if they don't win, then heads are going to roll. You might see, you know, the coach get fired. You might see the general manager get fired. Changes will be made. So if they have a season like that this year with this type of defense, which I think is almost impossible, but if that happens, I think that's definitely doomsday.
And with your podcast, Locked On Chargers, and how you guys kind of started, where do you think they go from here? How would you kind of look at the Chargers, let's say, the next 3 years? Because Herbert's obviously a rookie. And obviously, if you take a QB that high, he's married to the GM and the head coach. So what do you see this team looking like 3 years from now?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, the head coach and a sixth overall pick, and especially the general manager, if they don't have success together, then yeah, they're probably going to join hands together out the door. But as far as Justin Herbert, I think the Chargers are taking the slow approach with him. They're not trying to push him to start before he's ready. This offseason has been completely unprecedented, guys. I mean, they've lost a lot of time in offseason programs and face-to-face ability to coach and really get him ready for the NFL level. I think the right approach is to just let him continue to learn, let him watch Tyrod Taylor, a quarterback that's already in the same mold as himself. And then next year, when Tyrod Taylor's contract goes up, then you say, hey, Justin Herbert, now it's time for you to show us why we entrusted you with the sixth overall pick and really see what he is capable of doing next year. I think they see this year as a red shirt for Justin Herbert. But the problem here, 3 years down the line, is there's a lot of guys that are still needing to get paid by the Chargers, and a lot of guys that they're going to have a lot of trouble trying to stay in the building. So I think Keenan Allen's a guy they need to try to figure out a contract with. And Hunter Henry, if he does well this year, he stays healthy, that's another guy they need to find out a contract with. And there's a couple of guys on their offensive line, like Mike Pouncey, who's an older, aging guy. You still don't have an answer at left tackle right now. So there's still some question marks. But I think the biggest thing is trying to keep this core together and try to add pieces while you have a cost-controlled quarterback. I think that's what the recipe is try to make – try to add as many pieces as you can around your own quarterback to try to go win a Super Bowl. I think right now the window is right now. They have to capitalize on this, and if not, they're in serious trouble.
Dude, thanks for all your insight. Go ahead and plug all your socials and everything.
Hey, thank you very much, man. So you can follow me on Twitter at Dedro Sports. My partner I do my podcast with is Daniel Wade. You can find him on Twitter as well as at Dan Talk Sports. You can find our podcast on Twitter at Lockdown LAC, as well as on Spotify, on Google Play, on iTunes, wherever you find your podcasts, we're definitely there. But please check us out. We record 5 days a week, so we put out shows all the time. So we're always there. Our slogan at the Lockdown Podcast Network is your team every day.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much for hopping on, man. Stay safe and well, and keep doing what you do. You got some great stuff for us.
Hey, thank you guys so much. You guys be safe. All right, take care.
Likewise.
All right.
It's a lot of Charger talk.
Yeah, for sure. The most Charger talk we've ever had in this entire episode.
Wonderful. I just set a record, so now we don't have to do
but
it.
But luckily, they were both good guests, but...
Yeah.
They both had quality, and they both had different, like, quality stuff to talk about.
Yeah, like, one person's actually there with the team, and the other person, obviously, like, they cover them every day. So it's kind of like, it's good getting both sides.
For sure, definitely.
And we talk a lot about potential, and it feels like the Chargers are what, the Chargers want to be what the Chiefs already are. So let's just get this over with, Markel.
This is... clearly the best part of the show. You get to talk about the Chiefs. But what's your guys' questions, man? I want to hear what you guys want. What do you guys want to know about the Chiefs and what to expect from them? Because we know the offense.
What's their biggest weakness? What are you most afraid about?
For the
outside
Chiefs.
Outside of a divorce.
Huh?
No, we'll get to it. Don't worry. You still take a tangent and all that coming up. Don't worry.
No, nah, it's just
we don't have time for that. But go ahead.
You want to see how they come out? You hope that
worst moderator ever.
Agreed. But you hope that the Chiefs don't come out and like the you know winning the Super Bowl gets to them to where they're not prepared. But it's an Andy Reid team, and you know Mahomes wants to be an all time great, so he's going to make sure the guy's going. But it will be the same issue that affected them last year, stopping the run. You know, you're not sure, you know, most of their L's and what they do against the running backs, period. Like the losses they had last year was the Colts, Titans, killing them in a run game, Packers with Aaron Jones going off. And you hope to see what they can do at the will linebacker. They plan to go with Nieneman, which I thought they were going to go with Gay to start off, but they hope to they're hoping that Ben, who was the dime linebacker last year, he's going to play there, and they're hoping that he can start off the season when it comes to covering tight ends and running backs. So it's going to be the stopping the run and covering running backs out the backfield.
And like towards the end of the like in the playoffs, you know, we saw them get buried, and then we saw them come back. Is that something that you worry about might be a trend heading into the season? Like, you know, do you want them to kind of spot teams two quarters because they're the Super Bowl champs? Or do you want them to just, you know, bury people and put them away like they should every week?
No, you will hope that they will come out and bury teams because as a fan, and I'm pretty sure as players, it's so nerve-wracking to be like, damn it again, because eventually it's not going to work out in your favor. So you will hope that they will come off and start, you know, start a little faster. The defense this year should be much better at the beginning compared to last year because they were trying to figure out Spags's, you know, defensive system and things like that, and players are trying to see what roles they're going to fit. They're trying to figure out the outside linebacker spot with like Darren Lee and Damian Wilson and guys like that. But now they're kind of set with their defensive lineup. Then we have to see what they're going to do because Mike Pinnell was a big part of the stopping the defense the second half of the season, and he's going to be out the first game. So we're going to see what that looks like. And then you have no Breshawn Breeland the first four games. So the next corner up, you're not sure who that guy is going to be. But, yeah, you just hope that they start off much faster. I'm thinking the Chiefs are going to be somewhere around 12-4, 14-2, just because they felt that, like, that feeling of winning a Super Bowl, and they want to get at it again. And we kind of, like the Patriots during their run, our division is so bad that...
Stop it.
Not terribly bad, but...
Talent-wise, it's one of the best divisions in football.
No, but they're bad at the spot that you need to be the best at, and that's quarterback, to where you're unsure.
Locke might be a star.
Might be, but we need certain... Like, it's different.
He could be a Derek Carr, too.
No, it's different. It's like Baker Mayfield. I always said about Baker Mayfield, the same with Locke. Playing with no expectation is easy. You just playing. Whatever happens, happens. But now we expect you to win 9 games. Let's see what you're going to do. And I think that, you know, the Chiefs, I can't remember the last time they lost a divisional game. You know what I'm saying? So that, you know, just like the caller said, it's 2 games pretty much. And if they can dominate the division again and get home field, hopefully by then fans can come in. Only team that I'm worrying about is the Ravens. But with Patrick Mahomes – improving defense, I have no fear.
So there's not one team in the NFL, all the 31 teams, you're not afraid of?
It will probably be what the Bucs are doing is crazy. It's like they're getting all that talent. It's Tom Brady, so anything can happen. And then you look at the Niners. The way to attack the Chiefs is pass rush, and the Niners have a great pass rush. And if Garoppolo makes that the throw, they win the Super Bowl, and that's what it comes down to. So any team that can rush the passer and really, really get Mahomes off of his spots are going to be tougher. But as long as the Chiefs don't like deal with any injuries, I just think the defense has improved. Last year during the season, we couldn't really run the ball too well, not until the postseason with Damian Williams. But now with Hyde there in the backfield, or Hilaire in the backfield, that I think that's going to be taken away, to where I really don't see too many weaknesses when you look at the Chiefs.
Did you take Hilaire on your fantasy draft? Are you going to?
No, yeah. So how I've won fantasy the last 2 years, I draft mostly Chiefs. So for you guys listening out there, draft mostly Chiefs, and you're going to probably be no worse than second or third place.
I do have Tyreek Hill at receiver.
No, like this, I get the Chiefs defense, kicker. I try to grab a receiver. Like, I'm excited about Mecole Hardman this year because he has another year within the offense. I think he's going to get more snaps. Like, he did so much, and he didn't really play too many snaps. But now he was able to work on his route tree. He's been having a good camp, and I'm excited to see him and to add him with Sammy Watkins, who talks to the media and always says this is his year to break out.
You know, so you're old.
So we're
you're old.
So we're waiting for that, and then Tyree, Travis Kelce. I'm excited about this Chiefs team. Like last year, I was like, we should win mostly because of the offense and like the defense may be improving. But this year, I'm just like, I think both sides of the football, the Chiefs are going to be really good. And I expect greatness with this season.
It helps when, like, they use Jay-Z's 92 lost bricks to give Andy Reid and Brett Veach a contract extension.
6 years. Shout out to Hov, man. If that is true, which you keep spreading out there, oh, man.
It's true.
Sending the money.
Where else did the 92 bricks go? You don't just lose 92 bricks. Nah, Jay-Z probably said, you know what? I'm gonna just pick a team in the NFL to finance, but it can't be the Raiders because that'll be too obvious. So you got lucky. No, this is a conspiracy.
I can't wait for the...
Where's all this money coming from?
I'm so happy because the Chiefs are actually the first NFL team to have 2 home stadiums, one in Kansas City and now in Las Vegas. Stop it's going to be very exciting.
If anything, that's going to be SoFi for the Chargers game.
That one, too. Game. So, damn, 3 stadiums in.
Ouch.
Wow.
Ouch.
Jesus, come on.
Y'all, I know y'all just don't want to see the Packers.
There ain't even Chiefs Kingdom out here like that.
There really is.
You're crazy.
One bar, and the bar's closed, probably.
No, the Chiefs, bro. Jalapeno Pete's, check me out next Thursday if you want to.
They got good barbecue?
It's not Kansas City barbecue. So.
I said good barbecue. I don't say Kansas
solid.
City barbecue.
That's solid. Just wear, Chiefs, Woody's? Wear anything Chiefs. No, come on, bro. It's Woody's. But wear anything Chiefs, you get everything half off. But no,
why there's so many Bears bars around here?
There is a lot.
Why?
I don't
there's
know.
A bunch what? Of
people Star from Chicago stringers? Get out of so Chicago, you, man.
A bunch
they
of
want
lunatics.
To get out of the cold. Just seeing how many were in Phoenix.
It's a bunch of lunatics. That's what that tells you. But no, there's a group called the LA Chiefs, and you will be surprised how many members they are that's a part of LA Chiefs. And before
that sounds like that Jeff team. That like
it's a bunch of bloods over there, you know. the red.
They're a bunch of bloods who are just they're trying to get the gang,
that might be you, but they're gonna for sure fight you afterwards. It's probably win or lose.
It's probably like 15 black guys a part of the whole thing, but hey, it's all love. We show up and
they're
celebrate
on a biker
the Chiefs
gang. You know they double as biker gangs.
But yeah, but man, I really expect the Chiefs like 13-3. Dominant season from the jump, and for them to go like they fear nothing now. When you can come back from 24-0 and then come back in every game, like you have no fear of anyone. And as long as they're doing their part, no injuries, and the Chiefs don't beat themselves, which Andy Reid coach team won't do, I just think that like they're going to be tough to beat.
Cool.
I seriously think at the very worst, 11 wins.
Yeah.
Nah, they. I think they.
That's the floor.
16-0. Damn it. Nah, I'm just saying. But
yeah, we're gonna have to be drug tested.
They're going to. I can't remember what division they're playing. What division? Raiders and Chiefs got this year. For the NFC.
I mean, I think we're gonna see really how good of a coach Andy Reid is this year. Like he's gonna have to.
He's been doing it for how many years? And he's still waiting to see how
but
good he is.
No, but that's what I'm saying is we know he's great. But yeah, now it's going to be a whole nother level of, okay, you finally got that big monkey off your back, whatever you want to say, off your back, the relief. How do you handle that? How do you keep these players motivated, especially when they know they're so much more talented than everybody else?
Yeah.
That's going to be coaching.
That's
going to be motivation.
And that's why I think you having guys like Frank Clark, Honey Badger, Mahomes, who are such great leaders, and their hunger is like, this isn't enough. Mitchell Schwartz. You've been hearing.
And his assistant coaches.
He does Bienemy. You got Sam Madison with the D-backs.
Sam Madison Spags. Was nice in his prime.
Yeah, he was nice with Miami. But you got Spags, who's won multiple Super Bowls. So you just have the right, like, you just have the right amount of guys that are folk. They're like the Cowboys of the 90s. You just have those guys who are like, this isn't it.
Can never be Patrick Mahomes, though.
No, of course he can't. But it's like, even when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, the following year, you didn't have a group of guys that like, these are the leaders. Because you had Wentz coming in. Like,
yeah, you had a bunch of people kind of.
Yeah. Because you had Malcolm Jenkins, but other than him, I can't really think about.
It was mostly the linemen.
He was kind of a throwaway out of New Orleans, but people don't talk about that. But
because you had Kelsey.
They could have re-signed him, but they chose not Kelsey. To because he was in.
But I just think the Chiefs have so many great leaders that are dogs and really want to like be Hall of Fame type players and know the more we win, the more that the Chiefs can, you know, the Chiefs have to do it and make their names look better. That you got guys like Chris Jones and Frank Clark, Honey Badger, Travis Kelce, Mahomes, that I just don't see them falling off. Like, I don't see them falling back.
I can see Frank Clark telling reporters it's going to be his breakout year every year, too.
No, yeah, because I think that it's disrespectful that people don't think he's going to get 10 sacks this year. Like, last year he was playing with an injured neck at the beginning of the season, so he started slow, but he finished strong.
He should get 10 sacks, but...
Speaking
of breaking out, we're just going to do this one quick game of touchdown or turnover. Because I've been waiting to ask this question all day. So Cam Newton.
Best moderator ever. We only got to 2 out of the 4 teams in the division. got 7 minutes left.
And we still got Reds. People didn't answer back. No, it's cool. We're only doing this one. I really just only wanted this one question. So Cam Newton got named.
And I really just wanted to slander you.
I know you did.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm going to be professional and not slander you back.
No, you're not.
Don't tell him that right away. He didn't wear a hat, so I can't slander his hairline. But anyway, so Cam Newton was named a captain by the New England Patriots and is the starting quarterback. And not only that, he was dancing to Kurt Franklin's Stomp all week. And I thought that was the dopest video ever. So, you know, the touchdown or turnover, him being named the team captain and the starting quarterback.
Do you expect anything less of a former MVP going to probably the greatest coach of our time? Touchdown.
I mean, I think the question is, do you still care about New England's Trump ties? Do we just forget about that? Because that was like an issue four years ago.
Fact.
I mean, that was an issue 4 years ago, but
they forgave Brady over it, and also what's his face? The team owner pretty much got those charges dismissed at that rub and tug spot because he said you illegally wiretapped me. So clearly it doesn't really matter.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, as just from a outsider perspective, you know, that was an issue. Like the way the Patriots used, the way Trump used his connections with the Patriots to.
And they let him?
In his election, and they let him, and also did it. Like, you know, people felt a type of way. So are we past that to where, you know, it just doesn't matter and we can root for the Patriots because they have a black QB, because they have Cam Newton, who's a great redemption story? I mean, that's my question.
Will they get the credit is the real question.
It's sports, man. After a while, I just think they shouldn't do it, but I think that people just, like, push it to the side. Like, it's sports. We get to see Cam play again and get an opportunity. So you're going to – people hate the Pats, but we only hated the Pats because they won so much.
Yeah.
So now it seems like they kind of took a step back. You're kind of I can maybe cheer for them now because Cam there.
With all that being said, they didn't go out and go get Cam. They got Cam on the discount.
And to Kenny's point, you know, is it going to be, Cam saved the Patriots, or was it Bill Belichick's system saved Cam Newton from the scrapyard?
Bill Belichick. That's exactly what they're going
to
say.
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess we just kind of have to see how Cam Newton ultimately plays before we could say, you know, it's a touchdown or a turnover. But for sure, him being in the league, him starting on a Sunday, you know, that's got to be a touchdown. All the work he's done in the community, as hard as he's been working, mm-hmm. we've been seeing him on IG. Like, you know, it's hard to root against that. So,
well,
I can't wait to see the scarves after the game.
That's true. It's going to be cold, too.
Yeah.
He's going to have the gourmet Boston.
So they're going to be insane every week.
He's going to come out with a mink. He's going to come out with a fake mink.
Definitely.
He's going to come out with a Frank Lucas joint.
Oh, my God.
Nah, Peter's going to shut him down. He'll be cut within a week.
All right, so should we close out the show?
Yeah, let's do that. So who wants to go first in the rants?
Your hairline?
First off.
Oh, man.
I know you're not trying to talk hairlines. Even with my hair all the way grown out, my shit still goes across.
I'm just trying to figure out what that shit is in your left corner. Is that like a little devil horn? What is that?
It's called my hair's curly and it's growing out.
No, you got like a little triangle right there. What is that?
Hey, you took the headphones off. I'm like, damn, they about to fight up here.
I know. I was like, I'm getting out of this.
The headphones are on my head. All these guys tower
over me. I'm getting out of here.
I was like, he's really trying to talk about hair. Like I've been really nice the past like 4 weeks. Really letting you just skate by with the slander.
Hey, shout out with all the hair salons going back inside. You guys go make your money.
Rubbing his widow's peak and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, that's awkward.
It's not that bad.
But
I like how he rubs his widow's peak like it's going to go away.
It's like a separated peak.
That's a widow's
peak. Not a full widow.
That's not a full widow. I got one of those too, man.
It's not a full widow.
Nice haircut.
He's going through separation.
I've seen some terrible ones. So
is there a mitigation?
A life support peak?
A life alert? Oh
my God. It's like an X-Men.
So is it Catalina Island?
Get to his rant. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, I moved all week. I'm tired. You guys have a good week. It's hot this weekend. Hydrate. That's my rant.
Nice.
Go ahead, Pete.
I'm going to take up a lot of time, so you go.
That's true. Yeah, let me just get this out the way. So, I think it's pretty foul that Josh Gordon sold a Super Bowl ring that the Patriots gave him, even though we didn't play in the game. Like, that's just... And then the Seahawks re-signed him. Like, that's wild to me. He's still suspended. But, like, the fact that he has to trade... I'm going to just pray for dude. Because, like, what you ever have to do to sell a Super Bowl ring that they didn't even have to give you... Like, Randy Moss would probably kill for a Super Bowl ring. T.O. probably kill for a Super Bowl ring. Bunch of other cats. D. Ford would probably kill for a Super Bowl ring. But, like, no. You just...
Bro, it's COVID. People need cash.
D. Ford should have been offside.
How many contracts has Josh
really
Gordon had?
And how many has he lost?
Yeah, but he's also gotten paid. He got Cleveland money.
Would you rather see Josh Gordon delivering your chicken tenders for DoorDash?
That'd be
or
lit.
Would you rather
talk
have
about
him,
Baylor.
Would you rather have him sell his Super Bowl ring? Like, Get out that man's pocket.
That's sad. I'm just sad to see. Like, bro, how you keep doing this?
He's already had a hard career, man.
Is it like a David Ruffin choices. Type thing? He just can't get out of his own way? Like, I feel bad. But I don't really... But
him and Justin Blackman should have a podcast.
No, they shouldn't. Oh. Shut up.
Call it smoked. Call it smoked.
Smoked. It'd be like up in smoke with the football podcast.
They might get sued by Matt Barnes. But like, Josh Rosen has to be the mediator of that.
That's funny.
They're the throwaways. They're the throwaways.
Ah, that's a good title.
Because honestly, like the Dolphins are trying to trade him, and somebody tweeted out, I don't know how much trade value he has left. I'm like, that's fucked up.
He was garbage when he got drafted.
No, I think he was good. He just went to all the wrong teams. Like, I'm the only person who's actually out here defending Josh Rosen.
Which
is shocking, because
I fuck with Josh Rosen.
I do. Like, he's a good dude, but he's like, a rich kid.
That Cardinals and that Dolphins team were both really horrible.
Yeah.
He got, like, it's not like Matt Leinart, who was just a flat-out bust. Like, Rosen was good and had actually been given a chance. He could have went somewhere, but he went 10th. And then, like, you draft a number one overall pick the next year. Like, he can't compete with Kyler Murray.
But clearly he's not showing something. Like, if you're good, you're gonna play.
Bro, he played on nothing but bad teams. It's like if he went to Houston and said, okay, you're a franchise QB. It's like he got the David Carr treatment.
Hey, Fitzpatrick beat the Pats with that same Miami team. But he couldn't do it.
Fitzpatrick, ironically, and I said this last week, has better numbers than Kurt Warner. And Kurt Warner's in the Hall of Fame. So just simmer on that.
But that's because of the times, and then winning football is different than just
winning the games that matter.
Yeah.
I just think that's crazy. That, like, hey, sir, that's how his career
your Cardinals ends. Bias is showing? I don't like it.
Cardinals bias?
I lived in Phoenix in a weird time.
Yeah, bro.
I lived in Phoenix when people were like, yeah, I root for the Cardinals or whatever, and then they make it to the Super Bowl. Go Redbirds! Like, who the hell are you?
Shout out to Birchenberry.
Yeah.
I have the quickest rant. Man, if you guys want to watch good football, tune in Thursday.
while we're here.
Just hash out the tangents?
No, okay, yeah.
Don't listen to this
one
podcast.
Week, we're there. next week, it starts.
Hey, I already told my Corsair guys that you will not see me next week.
He really did.
Everything is Chiefs next week. Like, don't even hit me up. Lakers can play that day. I'm like, don't talk to me about any
basketball.
Do you
live in the area by Crips? Because I don't know if you can wear all that red.
I actually do, so I have to wear the white jersey.
No, you can't wear it.
Your neighborhood.
Because they see I have my Honey Badger white jersey. So they see that's my last name. I just
wear LSU jersey, bro. Just be safe.
Yeah, but hey, it is going up next Thursday. Make sure y'all tune in to greatness.
Watch they lose the first game to Deshaun Watson.
That'd be awesome.
Who's still playing on a rookie deal?
Then you probably won't see me until they win the next game.
All right, so I guess it's my turn. I'll try to be quick because Kenny set me up to fail by already giving me the mic with 3 minutes over time.
That's why I said you could go first.
Worst moderator of all time.
Nah.
But yeah, man, it's been a crazy fucking 2 weeks for me. If you've been following me on social media, it's been a lot. A couple weeks ago, my little sister went missing. Fortunately, she was found safe and sound, and everything is now starting to get settled. I'm taking in all three of my brothers and sisters, so it's going to be a hell of a ride the next 5 years, but I'm excited for it. I don't know. They're just having them around, even just when they're noisy and loud, it just gives me peace because I don't have to worry about them. But I was going back and forth like, oh, maybe I'll just take one more day. Like, Kenny's got the podcast. He's been handling it. Like, everyone's been helping out and stuff. So shout out to you guys, Izzy, Alan, Eric. Thank you guys for keeping the ship afloat. Appreciate it. Thank you for riding on Kenny because we all know he needs it. But outside of that, like, I don't know. It's just a weird experience. Like, it's not something I would ever wish on anyone. Just seeing your sibling on a be on the lookout poster. Like, I don't know. It's like being in the middle of a fucking ocean, and you're just like, well, fuck, what do I do? Like, do I go left? Do I go right? Well, I can't just fucking stand here and tread water either because, well, I'm going to die. And then, like, you just start swimming. And it's not like, oh, like, you're sprinting. Like, you're just, like, riding on full adrenaline. Like, you're not going as fast as you can, but you're not going slow either. And then it's like, even when you get to an island or you get to a point where you're like, oh, okay, maybe there's some safety here. Maybe it's cool. But nah, you have to keep looking out. And it's like, there might be fucking wolves here. Like, and it's just like a nonstop thing. And it's fucking exhausting. So that's why, like, these past couple weeks, like, as far as sports, like, man, before all this, like, I was really, really probably in the whole wide world of sports more than I ever have been, you know, doing my newsletter, you know, upscaling this podcast to 2 times a week. And then, like, when this happened, like, it just stopped everything. Like Kenny was saying, this trade we've been talking about for 9 months finally happened. I didn't even fucking know about it. Like, I barely watched the end of the Blazers series. I barely watched the Clippers series. Like, I barely watched anything. Like, I was just so focused on just continuing to swim, like, just continuing to survive and make shit happen. And fortunately, what I've learned from this whole situation is, I've probably said this on this podcast before, but, you know, I tell my siblings this too. There's 3 kinds of people in this world. There's people who talk shit, there are people who are full of shit, and there are people who make shit happen. And, well, I like to think I'm the last one. So hopefully this podcast is partially evidence of that. And hopefully, you know, these next 5 years are also evidence of that. But yeah, that's about it for me. So shout out to you guys. Shout out to our affiliates. Shout out to the good news. Shout out to the good news sports. Shout out to FPC Radio, X Squad affiliates, everyone who listens to this podcast, and your favorite podcast app. Peace.
Bravo, bravo. And we're also like a month away from our 200th episode.
Really? I thought it was like next week.
3 weeks.
After this, it's like... After three. I got to go back and check because, again, Spreaker like combined some of our episodes, even though I've already edited like 12 times.
Yeah, by the way, I got this like handle of Fireball from Coachella about 5 years ago for that. So... Yeah, Uber here, guys.
That sounds like we're gonna gas.
Everybody's gonna get their own individual Uber on the way home. Don't bring a car that day. Just Uber here. We'll Uber you home.
Why are you lying, Eric? It's from the first Coachella.
Yeah, I discovered Coachella 5 years ago. I think this one's from 3 years. That's when
was that Outkast?
I feel like you have something from EDC.
I feel like you were at Calvin Harris's first set. You were his audio guy.
No, I was there for definitely Calvin Harris, but he was there for multiple years in a row. God knows what I was on that trip.
Woo.
But yeah, man, stay safe, people. We're out. Peace.
Deuces.
Peace.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.